Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis.
And I'm Wendy Gillespie. Today we're visiting English choral music. Should we go chronologically?
Sure.
Good. I think you have the recording of the earliest early music that we'll be playing today.
Yeah, I've brought music of Christopher Tye.
Christopher Tye. I associate him with Henry VIII.
In fact, of Tye, Henry VIII is purported to have said, "England, one God, one truth, one doctor hath for music's art, and that is Dr. Tye."
Oh, he is a fabulous composer. What are we going to hear of Dr. Tye?
Here is some of the Sanctus from Tye's Western Wind Mass, written in the second half of King Henry VIII's reign. The choir of Westminster Abbey perform on this 2012 recording from Hyperion.
That is the famous Western Wind Mass, isn't it? It's one of those masses that's built on a pre-existing tune and a secular song at that.
Yeah, that's right. Lots of composers did that sort of thing, and lots of church officials felt it was inappropriate, so it was the subject of many a debate during the Council of Trent in the 1560s.
Gosh, I guess we're lucky that the music survives.
Indeed.
You know, it's interesting to mention that a choir like that of Westminster Abbey does not particularly specialize in early music. They do music of all periods. In fact, one can easily imagine that, say, as a boy in this choir, music is just music, whether you're singing Tye or Elgar. Mm. But boy, can they ever sing. And don't they have a nice space in which to make their music?
And a wonderful tradition of singing there. Okay, Wendy, now it's your turn.
Okay, well, I have a CD of Magnificat. I've heard it said that way in England. Mm-hmm. I did not make that up. Directed by Philip Cave in a 2012 Lynn Records release called Where Late the Sweet Birds Sang, Latin Music from Tudor England. This is a choir of 18 female and male singers, no boys. One of the singers is Sally Dunkley, the woman who edited all but one of the pieces they sing, and also wrote the wonderful liner notes.
I always enjoy good liner notes in CD booklets. That's something that sometimes gets overlooked, especially as so much of our music consumption has moved to digital downloads.
I agree, but boy, they really got it right with this one. The booklet for Magnificat CD includes some really interesting photos. One is of a part book from a source of most of the music, a gorgeous manuscript that resides in Oxford. And another is a photo of Magnificat, presumably during their recording session in Cambridge. The group is singing in the round with the microphones and conductor in the middle, which is quite an unusual way of recording and takes special microphones. This is something that Lynn Records, which is a really hardcore audiophile company, would delight in.
That sounds great, but enough talk about the recording. I can't wait to hear it.
I admit, this is some of my favorite music in the whole world, so I could rattle on forever about how cool it is. But instead, let's listen to some of William Byrd's Domine Quis Habitabit.
Thank you.
some pretty funky harmonies.
You're telling me the piece is a veritable festival of what are called cross relations, where notes like F and F sharp circle each other at very close proximity and sometimes crash directly into each other. This is an interesting piece. It exists only in one manuscript, and it's very unusual in part because it is Byrd's only composition in 9 parts and has 3 equal bass parts. It's very thick sounding, isn't it?
Yeah.
But to give you an idea of the range of the music on this CD, now check out some of Byrd's setting of the Lenten hymn, Christe qui lux es et dies.
Much simpler stuff than that other Byrd piece we just heard. Everyone is singing the same words at the same time, but I think I did hear one of those dissonances, those cross relations right at the end, wasn't there?
Well spotted, Janelle. And how can we leave without playing a bit of the most beautiful piece in the whole world?
Wendy, you're always saying that.
I know, but Robert Parsons' Ave Maria really is the most gorgeous piece ever written.
It really is?
It really is.
Okay.
Well, you have to admit, it is the most beautiful piece in the world.
It is such a gorgeous piece. Can you remind me of the dates for these composers?
Yes, Parsons was made a gentleman of the Chapel Royal in 1563, and Byrd replaced him after Parsons met an early demise.
Uh-oh.
Tragically, he drowned in the River Trent in about 1571, so we're talking the second half of the 16th century.
Okay. Well, what do you think, Wendy? Do we have time to jump on over to the 17th century?
Oh, yes, please. A quick dip into even more gorgeous English choral waters, this one dating from more than 100 years after Tai.
I've got a 2012 Atma Classique recording from the ensemble La Voix Baroque with the title O Poor Distracted Soul. It presents an array of English composers, John Cuprario, Thomas Lupo, Matthew Locke, John Blow, and several others. Henry Purcell, who was perhaps the most prolific and maybe even most admired of the 17th century English composers, is also represented here. I'd like to play for you the opening of a Purcell anthem in Guilty Night.
Thank you.
think that I recognized one of the voices in there, and I believe it is an English singer, Charles Daniels.
It was, in fact, Charles Daniels singing a tenor. Yeah. Well, I just couldn't stop listening to this recording. I really enjoyed it all the way through.
Well, I suppose if our listeners want to find out more about any of these recordings, they can visit our website, harmoniaearlymusic.org.
While you're on our website, have a look at our archive of blogs, podcasts, and shows. You can also visit our online shop where a portion of your purchase will benefit Harmonia. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis.
And I'm Wendy Gillespie. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.